Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I used the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
This is Wretched Radio. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, stories, sermons, whatever you see on the... Okay, not anything you see on the internet, because... But if it's a wretched sermon, good, bad, or otherwise, an article, please send it. We get more good stuff from you than we get from ourselves. We nap a lot. So if you'd be kind enough, send it to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This is from Kelly, asking about imprecatory prayers. That's right, the Old Testament Psalms that are pretty violent. The psalmist asking God, would you crush the skulls of our enemies? What? Kelly asks, Jesus didn't pray imprecatory psalms in Gethsemane. Does this suggest they do not have a place in the new covenant? It's a good question. I would suggest to you they can have a place, rightly understood, phrased at the right time, for the right reasons, and most likely few of us will ever have to use an imprecatory psalm the way that we read about them in the Old Testament. What do we hear and what do we see in the progression of imprecatory prayers? The psalmist is under threat. There are people, nasty people, who put their enemies' heads on pikes and line a city street or the entrance into their walled city to let the enemies know, you want to mess with us? Your head could end up on a pike too. They're coming for them. They petition them, please don't do this. Lord, would you stop this? They've tried to reason with the enemies. They keep coming, and their intentions are nefarious, to say the least. They're not coming to say, so you really believe the Bible is literal, do you? They're coming to violate wives, children, to crush the skulls of their own kids. And it is imminent. And now the psalmist says, God, crush their skulls. Don't let them crush our skulls, crush their skulls. Now, I know that strikes us as violent, but we need to remember the setting of the psalmist. This, ask yourself the question, if there were people that were coming up your sidewalk to do wicked things to your family, and they had whatever weapons, they've got a shotgun, Lord, please take them out before they get to me. Would that be a horrible prayer at that point when you are really in harm's way? So a little context helps us to at least understand what they were confronted with. Something so abhorrent, I don't think you and I can imagine it. I don't think we get the sense of living in that time, in that culture, with really barbaric people. Now, having said that, how many of those imprecatory psalms do we see in the Old Testament? 2, 3? Clearly, this isn't something that was prayed regularly from the psalmist. Now, let's fast forward. We have teachings from Jesus that we're to love our enemies, that we are to pray for those who persecute us. Does that mean that imprecatory psalms are off the table? Well, I think that they can still be on the table if there are people that have already been pleaded with, you have already been trying to reach them, you've been praying that they would stop with whatever it is that they're doing. And now it's really imminent. I think it would have to be a physical danger. Could you pray, however, an imprecatory psalm that God would take out a false teacher? Can we pray that? I would suggest if you do, you do it privately, because publicly you would take a shellacking for it, for even suggesting such a thing. But we need to remember that people who attack God's words, that's a greater crime than putting somebody's decapitated head on a pike. It's worse. So how would we use an imprecatory psalm today? I'm not sure the physical violence aspect is something that we would be focusing on. Maybe something like, Lord, do whatever it is that is necessary to stop this. Please, Lord, you know what is best. Vengeance is yours. I'm not a good judge of this. So do whatever you deem right to stop this, fill in the blank. So do I think that imprecatory psalms can be used? I do. Would the world hear this and go, oh, how did, yeah? Yeah, they will. But they don't understand what genuine evil is. And so we can petition our God in those ways. I think it's the exception and it's not the rule. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. Deborah said, totally agree. Sorry.
It's okay. Tune up a little. I get it.
Totally agree with your point that one person's job is not more important or more cool than another's. Received a fair amount of emails on that. Was it earlier this week? We were talking about who determines what job is the best. What job is the coolest, the hippest, the most sought after? It's the world that defines those things. A lot of people sent in emails just saying, hey, thanks, because I'm what's considered a blue-collar guy. Okay, which is kind of pejorative already in its white-collar is the executive. Like, that's the better type of collar to have than blue-collar. Heard from all kinds of people and all kinds of jobs. And one that I recall, there are many that I recall, but one, for instance, was a truck driver. And he was saying that he's an in-town truck driver, deliver stuff, bigger trucks. You have to have a special license for this kind of truck. So maybe an 18-wheeler, local. They're making between $65,000 and $90,000 a year. Well, that ain't nothing to scoff at, is it? And these days, he was saying that trucking companies, they will actually put out ads saying, hey, we'll pay for you to go to trucking school, which is about $5,000, and offer you a signing bonus to become a trucker. He's heard of amounts of $10,000 signing bonuses. Well, that's nothing to scoff at, and yet our culture does tend to look at those jobs as if somehow they aren't white-collar. Who decides those things? Not God! Is God more impressed with a white-collar worker who hates him, who does underhanded dealings, or with the blue-collar plumber who does things for the Lord with a joyful attitude? I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, God loves the latter, gives grace to the latter. The former, he resists. Don't let the world lie to you. She writes, stay-at-home moms are super important. Just wanted to make you aware of another category of caregiver that I feel gets overlooked. That's the adult child that comes back to take care of aging parents. This person sacrifices career progression for a job that offers fewer hours or flex time and comes with less pay and benefits. Of course, there are many other sacrifices, too. I think these persons' callings to care are sometimes viewed as a retreat from the real world. These caregivers need the support of their church bodies just as much as young moms do. Good word. Amen. Well done. That type of behavior, that is beautiful to the Lord. God loves that. When he sees a child repay a parent by giving up career advancement, whatever that means, career advancement, so that he can do the wonderful thing of repaying back a parent who changed their diapers. A lot. It's lovely to the Lord. Don't let the world lie to you. I'm telling you, the lies everywhere, constantly bombarding you. Todd, does it violate the third commandment to use words like gosh, golly, or gee? My parents used to be punished for saying such things on the ground that those words were substitutions for taking the Lord's name in vain. Thanks, John. I don't know if I'd punish, but I'm with your grandparents on this one, John. They're called minced oaths in my estimation. They are taking God's name, but just altering it a little bit so it doesn't feel like we're taking the Lord's name in vain. But his name is so high, it is so holy, it is so lofty. Why do we want to use any single word that would come close to that? Sometimes I find myself saying, oh my goodness. Okay, what? Not oh goodness, oh my goodness. What is that? It's a minced oath. Would I make a law about this? Yes, actually, I would. That's my conviction. Would simply encourage us to remember the name that is above all names. And when we use it in a minced kind of way, in an effort to soften the blow, nevertheless, if we use any sort of machination of the Lord's name in a lowly kind of way, we're dragging it through the dirt, and it has no place there. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. For you, in addition to your arsenal, I know you like to leave behind those little gospel booklets like Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time is Purple. So, might I suggest adding Are You a Rotten Fish? Are You a Rotten Fish is a detailed treatment of true and false conversions. In other words, the difference between good fish and rotten fish. Visit wretched.org/fish to get your copies to share of Are You a Rotten Fish? wretched.org/fish. Are You a Rotten Fish will compare and contrast the true gospel versus false gospels in a short, thorough, and loving way. wretched.org/fish, and you can actually read the booklet for yourself before you hand it out. Then after you read it, you're right there and can get your copies to give away. wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month. You'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
We are proud to announce our newest addition to the Drive-By series, Drive-By False Teaching. And just as the name implies, Drive-By False Teaching will give you the tools you need to distinguish the true from the almost true and contend earnestly for the faith.
What should be our diet? Should I constantly be studying false teaching and false teachers?
Not constantly, but you definitely need to be familiar with every threat to the gospel, especially if you're in any position of leadership or even if you're just a normal Christian who's discipling other people. You need to be aware of any error that might threaten their sanctification or their spiritual well-being. The shepherd can't think, well, all right, I've driven that wolf off. Now time for a nap. He has to stay on the alert. You have to be constantly vigilant.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is glorious and well worth defending. Drive-By False Teaching will help you defend our doctrines. Get your copy today at wretched.org/false-teaching. SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The hip, cutting edge, Todd Friel. This is Wretched Radio. Like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the drawer twice a day. Earlier this week on Wretched Radio, talked about the OK Boomer business. I tripped over it. It was like, the guys around here were talking about it. You know, the snowflakes. We're talking about the OK Boomer business. And my response to it was, nobody should be called a snowflake, and nobody should be dismissed with an OK Boomer. It's a mistake on both parts. The body. Fascinating that when Paul describes the body of the church, it's based up on roles and what we do. It's not based on age issues and who plays those roles. It's the function that God has given to you, and there's not this looking down on the part, and it shouldn't be a looking down on the age. That's just not the way that we should be looking at the next generation. Like, oh, they just don't work as hard. Oh, they don't learn as much. Oh, they don't. That's not the Christian perspective. People, not who came up with these demos anyway? Not the Bible, certainly. The Bible does talk about, marketers do. The Bible does. It's interesting, though, that really the signs of those men, pretty much the same, being dignified. You know, maturity is a good thing, but this random defining of who is in what generation and the stereotypes that identify them. And so the baby boomers have been speaking pejoratively. This whole snowflake business, it's I haven't liked it for a long time. And now we're seeing it kind of boomerang back, because now the millennials, when the boomers speak in a way that they believe is condescending, kind of know-it-all, okay, boomer, okay. All right, just eat your applesauce. Just, okay. And it's dismissive also. And it shouldn't be going on. And now I just happen to be looking at my feed, whatever that is. I actually went to just Google something and it pops up. So this whole OK Boomer thing is like a big deal. Whoopi Goldberg apparently blew a gasket on The View. Imagine that. You know, you millennials. OK Boomer, let me tell you what we were doing. When you were napping, we were working. And it was like, wow. Just not the way the body should be. Okay. Elbow, says the eye. While I'm busy making sure there's no danger out there, all you're doing is just bending. You know what? If my elbow didn't bend, I wouldn't be eating, or I'd have to rely on you to feed me, and you'd have to rely on me. Elbow's a good thing, wouldn't you say? So there's this whole generational thing. We are called away from that. I think we can take a bit of a cue from 1 Corinthians. What is the theme of 1 Corinthians? Got to remember the theme as you read the entire book. Don't forget the theme. Sectarianism. It's cliques. Paul is after. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. No, don't be like that. You're one in Christ. And I think that we can take a principle out of that we don't look at different generations, stereotype them, and then speak about them in condescending ways because they don't match up to your generation. So we think. Kind of reminds me of like high school. What year were you? So, you know, 84, 84, 80, 80, 80, 80, 84. Like, that's the best year to graduate. And then the other, 85, 85. Because our class is better than your class. This whole OK Boomer thing, snowflake business, kind of feels like high school all over again. Didn't know we were so cutting edge in dealing with the contemporary issues. Right, Tony?
Surprised me.
Oh,
I mean,
see, no,
didn't.
If I were a bet man, I thought for sure you were going to say, okay, boomer. Idea at wretched.org. Idea
Are you
at
a boomer? Wretched.
I don't know.
You're a little young for a boomer, I think.
Well, yes. Yes, I am.
Sorry, Susan.
Somebody saw a picture of me. It was from like 5 years. I know who it was. It was Jack. Okay. This is I'm not trying to be pejorative. He's a young man on our crew here at Wretched. And he saw a picture of me from 5 years. He just honestly goes, "Wow, you didn't have any wrinkles there." No, that's right. And don't, you know what? I'm like Kenny Loggins and Steve Perry. Don't
you
fight
are.
It. Don't fight it. Just sag. Go with it, man. Be dignified. You're not fooling anybody, Dolly. I mean, person, not fooling anybody. When you're 73, you should look and dress like you're 73. Hey, Todd Friel, the 10th of December, the Norwegian Parliament. So this is from Richard, who's clearly Norwegian. The Parliament is voting on a ban on homosexual therapy. This may include a ban on personal prayer and counseling for SSA Christians. How should the church respond to this? That's an interesting dilemma, isn't it? Now, before you answer that question, I want you to put your tootsies into the shoes of a Norwegian pastor. By the way, I know this is sort of not Norwegia land, but Finnish. Don't stub your toe is now available in the Finnish language.
Hey.
That's just so cool.
Nice segue.
That some people, that well, I'm not, we're not pitching it. I'm just telling
I'm
you.
I'm just wondering how you got to there. Never mind.
Some Christians in Finland said, "Can we take it and translate it?" And our answer was, "Well, let me contact my agent and get back to you on the deal."
Sure it was.
Of course you can take it. Just take it. Just take it and reprint it and give it away. Of course we. Same thing with Tagalog in the Philippines. So I think "Don't Stub Your Toe Now" is available in about 6 different languages. We don't have it here in our store. So if you're in Tagalog land, you'll have to find it there. But it's available. What? Yep.
The Philippines. I don't know if they would like to be called Tagalog land.
Well, see, Joey, little do you know. Have you ever been to the Philippines?
No, but little do you know that Finnish is a hop, skip, and a jump from Elvish. So we can translate it into Elvish any day now.
What does the king of rock and roll have to do with any of this?
It'll be Elvis. Oh,
never mind. Hey, Todd, what do you think? Well, put yourself into the shoes of a Norwegian pastor. They might be clogs, but try them on anyway. And you're sitting in your office, and the That's government Dutch. Has said, you can, whatever. And you said that this person walks in and says to you, "I'm struggling with same-sex attraction." Your government says, "Don't you try to persuade them that that's a sin or to change their stripes or to change their ways. It's against the law." What would you do? Now, hold on. Let me just add this up. It's good to be thoughtful before you pull the trigger on a real quick decision. You've got a spouse. You've got kids. You're going to be going to jail if that person who comes into your office is perhaps lying, just doing it to deceive, to get you arrested. People do that, you know. In China, you get a reward. Or is it North Korea? Or both. You get a reward for tattling on Christians. What would you say? What would you do? I want to make sure that I'm being thoughtful of what the actual repercussions would feel like rather than, hey, well, you do this and you do this and you do that. So what would I do in this situation? I think I'd be thinking it through a lot if I were a Norwegian pastor. But if our government ultimately says, look, you can't tell people that homosexuality is a sin. You're preaching through 1 Corinthians 6. You can't jump over it. You're reading that you got to preach on it. That would be a sin to not do that and be willing to let the chips fall where they may. Somebody comes into your office, I think I'd have some qualifying questions. I think I maybe would want to know something, maybe even check out the person so it's not just a setup to go to jail unnecessarily. But I think ultimately we Christians are going to have to start getting used to the idea of being imprisoned. I don't like it either. Believe me, I'm not nuts about it. We'll just have to have a prison ministry. We'll just have to reach the people who are there. Because we can't water down, we can't back down, we can't change, we can't alter, we can't cower. We can't be fearful people. This is not pleasant to ponder. This is serious and earnest business. But more and more legislation like this is going to get more and more particular, and it is going to be more and more difficult for you to practice religious freedom in a way that we could today, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So my answer to the question is I'd be wise about it. I'd be thoughtful about it. I might not be quick to respond to it. I might do some questions that might see where the person is at, where they come from. Are they in a family? Do I know them? And maybe even be willing to say to them, you do realize that if I share this answer with you and you tattle on me, I'll be going to jail. You realize that? Is that your intention here? No? All right, then. I'm willing to risk going to jail because this is so important, because eternity is at stake, and because sin is exceedingly sinful in the eyes of the Lord. So I am willing to risk imprisonment because I don't want your soul to perish. There is a better path for you. And so I do it to defend the truth, and I do it because I care for that person. As hard as it is, this is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. Islamic State militants are claiming responsibility for killing an Armenian Catholic priest and his father on Monday in eastern Syria, where they had traveled from their home in a northeastern town hit by Turkish airstrikes and terrorist bombs. In the wake of a Turkish military operation into Syrian territory that hit civilian border areas and the priest's base in Kamishli, the Reverend Hovsep Bedoyan and his father Abraham were killed by gunmen in Deir ez-Zor, according to media reports. The priest had made regular pastoral visits there, an Islamic State stronghold in eastern Syria, until Syrian Democratic Forces retook it over the past 2 years. He was overseeing the reconstruction of a church building in the city. He and his father were in a car with two others, including Deacon Fadi Sano, who was wounded by the gunfire, according to reports. They were attacked in their vehicle as they were nearing the Armenian Catholic Church. On the same day in Kamishli, bombings near a Chaldean church killed at least six civilians. Islamic State also claiming responsibility for those attacks. The killings come at a time when Christians in Syria's border areas with Turkey are caught in Turkish President Erdogan's military offensive to drive Kurds from an area roughly 20 miles into Syrian territory along Turkey's border. Erdogan's premise is that Syrian Kurdish soldiers have ties with the Kurdistan Workers' Party, a terrorist separatist group in Turkey. Though human rights organizations and others are saying the incursion has included war crimes and amounts to the ethnic cleansing of Kurds, with aims to repopulate the area with Syrian refugees from Turkey. Christians have said the offensive has a secondary religious motivation, driving out Christians and reasserting an Ottoman Empire. Praying for our brothers and sisters. An appeals court has overturned a legal ruling which had banned a Christian school from hosting prayers before a football game. Back in 2015, Cambridge Christian School, Tampa, Florida, ordered to cease praying over a loudspeaker at the start of its state championship game against University Christian School of Jacksonville. As a result of the order, Cambridge launched a lawsuit against the Florida High School Athletic Association. The original incident occurred when both teams showed a desire to declare a prayer over the loudspeaker prior to their 2A state championship game at the Citrus Bowl. The Florida High School Athletic Association rejected that request. In a unanimous decision issued Wednesday, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit slapped down the previous ruling by the district court that banned the school from praying, noting that the lower court was too quick to dismiss all of Cambridge Christian's claims out of hand. Amazing when you think about it. Two Christian schools who wanted to pray before their football game weren't allowed to, and it took 4 years in court to correct. Amazing. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is poetry. Poetry relies on imaginative and figurative language to expand on a theme, examine emotions, and reflect on who God is and what He has done. God's timeless truth is written down by biographers and artists alike. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
800,000. This is Wretched Radio. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org with questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks. Just received an email. 800,000 copies of What Time Is Purple have been distributed. Unbelievable. Just heard that we received a new shipment in the dock. So, if you have not participated in the Purple program, help us out. We need the space. We've got 100,000 more in the warehouse. Actually, there's a bunch more in another location, too. But if you have never given away the gospel, we'd like to give the gospel to you to give away. No charge. You have to pay for shipping, but we'll give you up to 50 copies of What Time Is Purple to give away. It is a wonderful gospel booklet, and we will send it to you if you promise to distribute it. And as we have now 100,000 more, it'd be really nice if you did. Maybe for Christmas, you could put it into the gifts that you send out. Just saying. It'll just cost you shipping. You can get them at wretched.org/purple, wretched.org/purple. What?
Wow. Christmas shill before Thanksgiving.
Are you kidding me? Have you been to Hobby
Lobby? I expected it from others.
They started playing Christmas music like right after the 4th of right July. After, they've been out.
I was
in the Hobby Lobby. You know? I was just in the Hobby Lobby. If you love Hobby Lobby, good on you. But it's not my world. I walk in there and I see all this stuff and I go, well, that's cool. I have no idea how to deal with it or put it up or to pick it. We're looking at picture frames. There's like 800 choices. I was like cognitive dissonance. I've got to go. And so I left and went to Michael's. And you know what I said there? I got to go. I just, my little lack of arts and crafts neurons were just exploding at the Hobby Lobby. But there was Christmas music on. And if you think Hobby Lobby was playing Christmas music early, that ain't nothing compared to the Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel that have been playing now for about a month and a half. They play them all year round. And now there's a new slew. Not only is the Hallmark Channel playing the Christmas movies, is it TLC, I think? The Learning Channel? They learned that those movies get ratings. I don't know, Discovery Channel, whatever it is. But I saw that there's another network that has these. I'm shocked every time at the end. I have to confess. Every time I've seen a Hallmark Christmas movie or any of these Christmas movies that they make on different networks, I'm always amazed at the end that the lead girl and the lead boy, they're both beautiful people, they get together and they kiss at the end. It surprises me, takes me off guard every single time. Wretched.org/purple. Wretched.org/purple. You can even predict how the kiss is going to happen. And there's always going to be an Ed Asner-like character inside. There's always the old guy who gives the information, the wisdom along the way. And then it's usually what I've seen, the guy is a celebrity or the girl works in TV. It's some sort of high profile glitzy thing, and it has something to do with the house being sold or because dad is dying, what are we going to do with the family farm? And she ends up keeping it at the end, giving up the big job to be with the hunk every single time. Having said that, I kind of get their appeal. It's just so not complicated. It's just easy to consume. It's not like the typical Alka-Seltzer you and I have to glug down every day. It's more like a smooth cordial. Thomas Watson wrote about a divine cordial. I'm going to paraphrase the quote for you. God, our heavenly physician, a cordial is considered like a sweet tasting beverage that will have medicinal properties in it. And God gives a divine cordial, but he gives it based on knowing what we need. The good physician, he either gives us something that's smooth and rather pleasant tasting, or he gives us Alka-Seltzer because we're more knotty in nature, K-N-O-T-T-Y. You know, we've got more knots and we're gnarlier and we're more difficult wood and not very pliable. So he will deal with us as need be because he cares for us. Okay, all right, all right, all right, okay, 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 all right, I got it. Going to give you a quiz. Gentlemen, try to pay attention for a change. Going to give you an illustration. Tell me what is wrong with this illustration, all right? A father takes his beloved child to the doctor's office. The doctor informs dad, your son needs some immunizations. They're deep muscle shots. They're going to be painful. The little boy hears the words painful, and he's not very excited about what's going to happen next. He's asked to roll up his sleeve. He's getting a little troubled, sees the needles getting prepared, and he starts to cry and fuss. And dad calms him down. There, son. It's okay. It's not going to hurt a lot, but it's going to hurt a little because it's for your good. Bang! In goes the deep muscle shot. The kid wails and cries and screams, and the father soothes him. It's okay. The pain will be done soon, but it's for your good, honey. I wouldn't let anything befall you that isn't for your good. And that's like our Heavenly Father. He doesn't let anything befall us that isn't for our good, and he is there to comfort us even as we go through trials and tribulations. The end. Gentlemen, what's wrong with that sermon illustration?
I'm not picking up what you're throwing down here, so.
What do you mean you're not picking up what I'm throwing down? Like the father comforts the child who's going through something painful for his good, our Heavenly Father comforts us in our affliction.
Yes.
Huh? Yes, what's lacking? What's wrong with that illustration?
Is the doctor supposed to be Jesus?
Well, that you're getting warm. That, now, if you're trying to give the Sunday school answer, because every Sunday school answer...
Jesus is the correct answer.
Is the correct answer. But here's the problem with the illustration. Now, I'm actually going to create another problem. God is the physician. God is the one who designs what is best for us and what is needed. And God administers it. He will cause calamity that is non-sinful. He will send difficulties that are non-sinful, but he will permit sinful things, even evil things, and he will use sin sinlessly for our good. And so God is our good physician. All right, gentlemen, what's wrong with that sermon illustration?
Wait, so is the Bible supposed to be the vaccine?
You're going too far. What's the problem with that illustration?
I don't know.
Well, see,
I was too busy thinking up a clever little
answer. God is the good physician, but he also is our Heavenly Father. God is both.
And then he takes off his lab coat and then pays the fine.
Stop it now! Stop it! You're too late for this!
Like the judge paying the fine.
God is both. He is our Heavenly Father who comforts us, but he's also the good physician who administers the cure, the divine cordial that we need. And that is why, as we go through these things, we can know that the God of all comfort will comfort us in our affliction, because we know that the one who is administering it is a skilled physician. He knows exactly what we need. If we're naughty, it's going to be more painful. If we're more malleable and teachable, he'll just give us what we need in order to be conformed into the image of his son. So analogies, they always, by definition, limp. That one, it limps if you say that he's just the father or if you say that he's just the doctor. God is both. Now, building on that less than stellar illustration, are you going through something right now? Has it been going on for a long time? Now, I want to be careful with this because I'm not talking about any sort of physical malady that maybe has a component that needs a cure. I just want to be a little careful with this, but it could be an option to consider. Are you long-suffering because you're being naughty in an area and it's requiring something longer? I'm not diagnosing your situation. That's not my... I'm just saying this has to be something that we consider. If we're going through something and it's not going away, this situation is not improving, no matter what happens, this just keeps going on and on and on and on. Stop. God, our Heavenly Father who loves us, is also our divine physician who will give the appropriate cordial for our healing. And if we are not responding to the medicine, he will continue administering it until it has its good work accomplished in us. All that to say, if you are in a protracted situation that is difficult, ask the Lord, not for a word or a revelation, Lord, what would you teach me in this? I want to learn. I want to be out from underneath your heavy hand, because I want to be in alignment with what you want for me. And maybe, just maybe, that will be the very thing that God has been seeking to do that might relieve your difficult situation. This is Wretched Radio. Tempted, but I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get to a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee, but I'm not going to do that. But we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe, 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds and presenting the gospel to moms and dads? $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God, with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Kanye only wishes he could produce music like that. This is Wretched Radio. Idea at wretched.org if you're the shy kind or you like to talk. 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP. By the way, I just saw that Kanye West, what's the name of his Sunday morning is what he's calling it. It's not a church service per se. It's supposedly just a lot of his music. He's traveling around doing it in different locations. Here it is right here. Kanye West is set to appear at Joel Osteen's church. He will conduct a 15 to 20 minute conversation with West at the 11 a.m. service, and West will return at the 7 p.m. service to perform with his choir. Kanye said that Kanye and Joel, oh no, his representative said, Kanye and Joel are friends. He's been wanting to come out for some time, and it just worked out for this weekend. So.
Providence?
Providence. Yes. Yeah. Everything is Providence, silly rabbit. Speaking of Providence, I just received an email at idea@wretched.org from a fellow I've thought about over the years. Have you ever experienced something like this? You're thinking about somebody, and then all of a sudden they show up in the news, they run across your feed, they pop up on your face, whatever it is, or they send you an email, and it's like, whoa, that's what just happened to me, literally. I think about this guy on occasion, and I cannot find him. We used to do some work together, production stuff and radio stuff, and I've often wondered, whatever happened to him? And he's gone off the grid, so my limited skills do not allow me. I'm not Jason Bourne. I can't find the guy. And he's Jason Bourne. He's gone off the grid. I guess that would be the better analogy.
Be closer.
No, we're both Jason Bourne. No, that was the last analogy story that we did. At any rate, the point is, couldn't find him, and then all of a sudden, I literally, within the last minutes, got an email from him.
Cool.
And do you know what that means?
The planets have aligned.
No, it means that the Father and the Doctor are God.
You're going to have to stop already, Tony.
Okay.
It means nothing. Doesn't mean anything. God is not trying to tell me something. It's providence. Was God aware that I have been trying to find this fellow over the years? Sure. God aware that he was going to actually find me and said, yes. Is God trying to communicate something? No. When your God speaks, he's clear. And you can read all about his will for your life in the Bible, where there is no confusion to be had. 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP.
You know, back in the day when we had problems in the church with orthodoxy, the fathers would get together and we would have what you would call a council. Why are we not looking forward for another council to establish the doctrines that the church holds in regards to abortion, LGBTQ, and the role of women in the church, so that we can set forth, again, the orthodoxy?
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? The early church, in a sense, they had some advantages. The early church was the early church. If you want to call the first five centuries the Catholic Church, okay. It's not the way we think of the system today, certainly. But nevertheless, the church was just the church. The early church fathers, they would see a need, they would see a deficiency in somebody's teaching, and if it was a great enough threat, they would call everybody together because there was just a church. Well, then things started to change. You had the split, the 11th century split with the Eastern Orthodox Church. You had different bishops in different territories assuming more power, more factions were going on. And it was increasingly difficult to pull everybody together because they didn't have unity together. Today, we see Catholics, Protestants, all kinds of denominations, Eastern Orthodox Church. You couldn't have church-wide agreement. And let's forget about the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox. We Protestants will call a church council. All righty. Who are you going to call besides Ghostbusters? Who heads up this council? Which denominations are represented? You couldn't do it. Now, you can do it in your denomination if you are in one, which I happen to believe is a benefit of denominationalism. that you're in a body that at least can cleanse itself.
Yeah, but you're seeing there, too, they're not agreeing already and not setting firm policies.
That's most likely because liberalism is creeping in.
Yeah.
It's almost always the case. Usually the role of women is the first thing that gets introduced, and then it slides away from there. But that is why there is a benefit to denominationalism. I'm not making it a law by any means, but at least it can be a self-purifying movement, and they can get together and actually have a denominational council. But it's highly unlikely. You're going to see Presbyterians and Lutherans and Baptists all sitting down to talk about any of these issues. And how would it be considered authoritative? And at this moment, any of the Roman Catholics who are listening to this program are going, see the mess that you've caused. Indeed. But it's a price worth paying that every man, a priest, has access to the Bible and should, based on his abilities and skills and growing knowledge, determine what he believes is biblical or not. That we are all responsible to make those individual decisions, and that benefit far outweighs the inability for us to get together as a council to make some sort of declarative statement. So, if you're Roman Catholic, you're right. It's not as good. If it were just one big church, that would be better. But it's better that every single individual goes about the business of seeing if these things are so. 1-877-282-BEEP.
I've heard on your Witness Wednesdays, when you're talking to a Muslim, you refer to Jesus Christ as the prophet Jesus. And I think I understand the mindset being that you don't want to unnecessarily put them on guard, but it kind of almost seems like conceding to them, and it just bothers me. Mm. I'm sure you have a good reason. So if you could just explain that, I'd really appreciate it.
No, I you nailed it, sir. And I get that. And maybe it's the wrong thing to do. Now, the idea is they refer to him as the prophet Jesus. So I'm just pointing, using their language. I mean, after all, Jesus is the prophet, by the way. He's not a prophet. He's the prophet. He's also the priest. He's also the king. So I like to think I'm not sinning by doing that. But, sir, you might be correct. It might not be the wisest way to do it. And, by the way, speaking of whether it's witnessing to Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses, if you recall, somebody, I believe, last week asked about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. And I've really not found a really great little way to do that. It tends to get into a wrangling over issues, and they use their translation, their New World Translation. Well, some people have sent in some ideas and some tips for that. Somebody said, you say to the Jehovah's Witness, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a 5-minute hearing if you'll give me a 5-minute hearing. And then you listen to them, and then you preach the gospel to them. Ludi, our good friend in Ireland, said that when he takes the time to actually just straightforward preach the gospel to Jehovah's Witnesses, he finds regularly they're just transfixed because they've never heard such good news. Other people have pointed out you can use different Bible verses in the book of Revelation, and you can even use their own wonky text because these verses are still there to demonstrate the names that God gives to himself in the Old Testament, Jesus uses for himself in the book of Revelation. Therefore, that's an equality statement. Jesus is God, because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe he's the Archangel Michael. So that would be another way to do it. My encouragement was, leave them shaking in their boots. You got this wrong, which the church has always understood. Your understanding of Jesus is deficient. You're going to go to hell. Are you sure that you've got this right? And this relatively new-founded cult that you're in is correct, because your eternity depends on it.
Hello, Mr. Creel.
Okay, it's Mr. Friel to you.
I'm just calling to see what you think about hell. This question is going to be from the assumption that anybody who is in hell will continue to sin. So would that mean that hell throughout eternity would get progressively worse for them? Or are they only in hell for those things they were judged for while they were alive? Meaning they die, God judges everybody, and then they're in hell for that specific judgment, and therefore the sins that they would continue to commit throughout eternity in hell, like their cursing at God for being in hell, would that not include those sins, therefore not increasing the flames of hell?
Let me answer that with a fist-pounding definitive, I have no idea. I don't know. But speaking of Joel Osteen again, I don't know. Because the Bible doesn't tell me so. All I know is that hell will not be a purging place, because all of eternity in hell will not be enough to pay for a single sin. And that is why when you consider that, the cross of Jesus Christ and what he endured for all of the sins of all of his people who would ever believe, whoa, whoa. It should cause you to praise him for his amazing grace. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.